Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. And man, I'll tell you, I've got some guests, but today I've got one of the most special guests, somebody that I've admired for many, many years, an economist, a man from Switzerland, Dr. Mark Faber from Doom, Gloom, and Boom Report. Dr. Faber, how are you, sir?
Fine. Thank you very much for having me on your program.
Oh, I love having you on my program, Dr. Faber. I see you all the time, and I respect what you do, and I love your opinion. But anyways, so, you know, one of the first things that I wanted to ask you is just generally, you know, you're educated in Zurich, and, you know, you're an economist. Are you what side do you favor? Are you a Keynesian guy, you an Austrian guy, or do you have your own theory about economics?
Well, I think I'm leaning far more towards the non-intervention side and towards small government and towards liberty and personal responsibility than towards big governments that intervene into the free market economy. And each intervention into the free market brings along unintended consequences. And the problem with Keynesian economics, on the surface, they sound very appealing. In other words, what you do is when there is a growth that is above the trend line, you increase taxation and tighten monetary policies in order to slow down economic growth. And as a result of the increased taxation, you accumulate surpluses for the government. And when the economy slows down and goes below the trend line, you then lower taxes and you create deficits to bring back the economy into the trend line growth. So on paper, it sounds wonderful. Unfortunately, here come in the politicians that in boom times say, well, we can't really increase taxation because otherwise the economy will slow down. And in bad times, they create huge deficits. So it's a very asymmetrical economic policy, and what Keynesian economics have done to the world, especially in the Western world, because that's where they are at home and where they have essentially hijacked the entire economic theory, what Keynesian economics have done, and in particular neo-Keynesian economics, economies like Alan Krugman and Bernanke and all these characters, is that it has allowed the government to expand and expand and expand, and with it regulation and laws to become more and more complex, and this has had an extremely negative impact on economic growth.
So when you look at the big picture, and I'm very much against the Federal Reserve in its current state. I mean, I think the initial rules that govern the Fed were probably reasonably put in place. But to me, it seems like they've gotten way away from what their intended job was to do. And we've become much more of a society. And with the Fed, they're more trying to turn this into a manipulated socialist economy versus a free market capitalist economy. What do you say to that?
Well, basically, the idea of central banking is to preserve the system in states of crisis In other words, if there is a banking system and the bank becomes illiquid, then you try to help the bank overcome the liquidity crisis under some conditions. But that you become a central planner, that was certainly not the original intention of the formation or the creation of central banking. And it has become that way. And the central banks around the world, they coordinate their decisions. And they have a tunnel vision of the world whereby they believe that if they print enough money, it will boost economic growth rates, which is a complete fallacy.
And that's my question. So why is it now these people, we have to assume they're smart people, they got to this position in life. And
well, I wouldn't call smart people, they're academics. You know, I know many smart people, they've hardly been to school, but they're street smart. They know if they haven't a penny in their pocket, you can send them out in the evening. They come back tomorrow morning with $50 or $100 in their pockets because they've been able to survive the system and make some money. You take any central banker and you send him out in the evening with no money, he'll come back in the morning with no money.
And with debt.
But maybe with some debt. He may come back with some debt. Yes.
Dr. Favre, that's why I love you, because you do say it like it is, and I respect that so much that you're straight. So, okay, but we know they're academically smart, and of course, why can't they see? You know, again, it always bothers me that I'm a street kid from Chicago. Okay, you're an educated economist from Switzerland. You and I can both see the same picture. We both see the trouble that they're bringing in here to the overall world economy. Could we not have learned anything from the debacle that Japan created 25 years ago into what they're doing?
Well, actually, the Japanese experience 25 years ago, up to recently, wasn't all that bad, because what happened in Japan is that wages were relatively stable, but the price level fell, and therefore real inflation-adjusted per capita incomes actually increased, and as much as in the U.S., real per capita incomes. Then Abenomics was introduced, and since then, it's been a complete disaster in the sense that, A, the yen has collapsed, so whereas by international standards measured in dollars, a Japanese may have had, say, 100 before, now because of the yen depreciation, he has 30% less. And his cost of living are going up substantially because 50% of the food in Japan is imported. So he's being, the consumer actually has suffered in Japan, which is reflected in the poor retail sales. And recently Toyota announced where they would build their automobile plants. Now the Abenomics, the thinking was, well, if the yen goes down, investments will flow to Japan. This is a complete nonsense. Toyota is building plants in Asia and in Mexico, but not in Japan.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to have to step out here for a break, but we're going to come back with Dr. Mark Favre. After the break, isn't he great, man? I'll tell you, I love listening to him. Doom, gloom, and boom. And this is being brought to you by my friends at the CTG Group in Chicago. Capital Trading Group. Make sure you check them out. My friend Nell Sloan over there. I'll give you the phone number later in the show.
Mostly an eight. Stay with me, man. Listen up. This is philosophical.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you today, and As I said, we got a great guest, Dr. Mark Faber, and he is being brought to you by our friends at the CTG Group that are into alternative investment space, and they've got great programs. I urge you to check them out, and we'll have some more information for them as we get later in the show, but make sure you know that this is being brought to you by the CTG Group in Chicago, Nell Sloan. We're going to get back here to Dr. Faber right now. So, in your vast experience, and you go back to, you know, you were with Drexel for a while. You've been all around, and you've become a world-renowned economist for your contrary opinion.
I'm not sure. I'm an economist. I'm a businessman.
Right.
And, you know.
You are a businessman, is right, and I agree with that. So, as a businessman, what would you have done differently if you were the guy in charge? What would you have done differently to create, to avoid what I think is going to be one of the biggest disasters in history when it all plays out?
Well, please tell me, as of which date can I take decisions? Say, I could take decisions in the mid-1990s. I'm not sure I would have bailed out Mexico, because it wasn't the bailout of Mexico, it was a bailout of Goldman Sachs that held Mexican bonds. I'm not sure I would have bailed out, well, actually, I'm sure I wouldn't have bailed out LTCM. I would let them have gone bust massively, because that would have been a signal to the financial service industry. You mess it up, you screw it up, you get punished. But no, they bailed them out because, again, it would have affected some money center banks in New York. The profitability would have gone down. And so that gave a signal to Wall Street, just recklessly leverage yourself, because whatever happens, the stupid Fed academics will bail you out.
And that is really...
And then came the Nasdaq bubble. The Nasdaq bubble was a deliberate creation by Greenspan, because his view at the time was that rising stock market in tech stocks would stimulate innovation. Well, it did to some extent. That I do not disagree with. But when it burst, it killed financially a very large number of individual investors. Then the thinking came up, Krugman, McCulley, Bernanke, Greenspan, Yellen, let's create a housing bubble. So that will stimulate economic growth. What subsequently happened is a collapse of the housing bubble, and tragically, it really wiped out a lot of people, and even today, a lot of people are suffering under high debts and home prices that are below the loan value of their homes.
And
I mean, you have to see, this has been recognized already by 17th century economists, and then by David Hume and Irving Fisher. Bubbles destroy the wealth of the majority and benefit a handful of people, very few people. And this has precisely happened, and this is why wealth inequality and income inequality is where it is. So if you ask me what would I have done, I would never have let credit growth exceed nominal GDP growth for such a long time by so much.
So if you look at the situation today, okay, and we both are in agreement as to the mess that they created, okay, so now what would be, from where we are now, I believe the Fed has no way out right now. I think they are painted so deeply into a corner, and they can talk about the raising of rates all they want. But if they raise rates today with the way that the rest of the economy and the rest of the world is, we're already the highest interest rate in the world right now. Our dollar is going straight up. And if they raise rates, that would, in my opinion, put the United States into an immediate deflation. It would create too much strength in the dollar. And then where do we go from there? So I think the Fed has painted itself in the corner and has no clue how to get out. And they're trying to stall in their mind by having their henchmen come out. And, you know, Dudley came out last week and talked up his dovish tone and those things. And we continue to see these guys get in and try to manipulate the stock market, so that if the stock market is going up, there's peace on earth. Of course, that doesn't include the middle class that's still in a recession and can't make any money. So what do they do? What can the Fed do, in Dr. Mark Faber's opinion? What can the Fed do now to make things right?
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, they can't do anything right. But they created this position themselves. What I think should be in the world is that all central banks increase interest rates to a reasonable level to, again, allocate capital efficiently, because at the present time, it's not allocated efficiently. Corporations don't invest in new plant and equipment. They don't really hire new people. But they go and buy other companies and they buy their own shares, so the stock market goes up. They issue debts because interest rates are so low, and then they buy their own shares. It's all financial engineering. And it is true, if they increase rates here, then the dollar will strengthen and the economy will weaken and asset prices will come down somewhat. But I believe it's better to take the pain now than not to do anything at all.
You
can read the statements of Yellen. You can read the statements of Dudley. I mean, first of all, you look at these characters. Do you now really believe that these are the people that take decisions? I believe someone tells them what to say and what to do. I can't believe that totally insignificant and even intellectually what I would call inferior people have this power position. I just can't believe it. Someone is giving them orders. And my sense would be that it would be far better for the Fed actually to swallow the pill and raise rates rapidly and take a 40% plunge in the stock market and a decline in home prices, because declining home prices may actually stimulate demand. One of the problems in the U.S. and also in Europe for young people, I'm not talking about myself, but for young people, is affordability. Your children, my children, they go to work. They pay relatively high taxes. The cost of living has gone up substantially, notwithstanding what the Bureau of Labor Statistics says about inflation. I'm talking about the cost of living has gone up. You want to park your car somewhere, it's more expensive. You go eating somewhere, it's more expensive. You go and stay in a hotel, it's more expensive. Your insurance premiums are more expensive. Your educational expenses are more expensive. Your health care expenditures are more expensive. So the people are suffering. At the end of the month, I would say at least 80% of U.S. households have zero savings.
You are so right that they have zero savings, and that is a problem in which, you know, it has to be taken care of and cured. But that has to do with, of course, the Federal Reserve and their nonsense. This is Dr. Mark Faber being brought to you by the CTG Group based in Chicago. Reach out to my friend Nell Sloan at 800-238-2610. That's the CTG Group, Nell Sloan, 800-238-2610. This is The Bubba Show. We are with Dr. Mark Faber from Gloom, Doom, and Boom. The best. I love him. This is The Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Margie said, Roy, you ain't listening to me. And I've got a whole lot more to say. Roy just crossed the floor.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Dr. Mark Faber from Gloom, Boom, and Doom, being sponsored and brought to you by our friends at the CTG Group, Nell Sloan. Give her a call, 800-238-2610, or check out their website at the CTGGroup.com. Nell Sloan. Anyways, we're going to get back to Dr. Mark and talk about why nobody's got any savings and what is wrong with the overall economy. Let's get back to Dr. Mark Faber right now.
So what do they want to do? And the poor people, they have some, or the retirees, they have some interest income. Now they have no interest income. They are being penalized. And in Europe, they have zero interest rates or below zero interest rates. So you buy a 10-year Swiss government bond, you get zilch. But you understand, this is the reason the stock market goes up. In France now, I tell you right away, the 10-year government French bond yields 0.44%. In Germany, 0.16%. So the stock market, say in France, has maybe a 3% dividend yield. Or you take Spain, the stock market has about a 4% dividend yield, and the bonds, the 10 years, yield 1.18%. In America today, the 10 years yields 1.92%. So in the US, people are bearish about bonds. Yeah, fundamentally, I tend to agree. But compared to European bonds, I think U.S. government bonds are a bargain. What would you rather own for the next 10 years? A French government bond at 0.44% or a U.S. Treasury at 1.91%? You know, the pricing in the world has been completely distorted by the, some people would say, the interventions by the Federal Reserve and other central banks. I say the coordinated manipulation of markets. Now, if you are at Citigroup or wherever, or Goldman, and you manipulate markets, you are penalized. And some go to jail for that. But the Federal Reserve, they're considered heroes.
Well, I don't consider him a hero because, as I said...
You understand?
I understand. Listen.
You have to read the literature. The literature about economics is at least 70% sponsored by the Fed. The Fed pays for that research through their consultants and. So, of course, it's Federal Reserve and central bank friendly.
But...
And then the financial sector will never very critically condemn the Federal Reserve, because all the investment banks, all the banks in New York, all the large fund management companies, they have their buddies at the Fed. They don't want to disturb the relationship where they get advice and kind of inside information, I would say.
Well,
so the literature is always complementary. Very few independent people. Jim Grant is one, and Mark Spitznagel has criticized the Fed, but very few others. The other ones are kowtowing the Fed, like if the Fed was the temple on the hill where everybody and prays to.
Oh, man. Dr. Favre, you're so... See, and so now my thing I say here on the show all the time is, if you or I ran our company or our whole household budget like the Federal Reserve runs their department, we would be in one of two places, either bankruptcy court or in jail. And I guess you agree with that,
sure.
There.
I agree with you. You see it very clearly, and you spell it out very clearly to your listeners.
So as we move here now, I think we both believe that, you know, your report is called Gloom, Boom, and Doom, but I think we both believe that it's pretty gloomy right now and that doom is probably going to come first.
Well, you understand, gloomy. I believe the central banks have created an environment where cash is losing value. It's losing purchasing power. Now, the problem is, in this environment where cash is losing purchasing power, we need to own some assets, financial assets and real estate and gold and silver and maybe other commodities. But the issue is really that not all these markets move at the same time. So, say, since 2011, emerging markets have grossly underperformed and the stock market has grossly outperformed, or Europe underperformed. But say in the first quarter of this year, the German DAX index in dollar terms, I mean the euro went down, but the stock market in Germany went up substantially. So in dollar terms, the DAX is up 10% and the S&P is flat.
Revolution in this country?
Well, we talked about the U.S., but I have to say in Europe it's not much better. My experience with democracy is that it functions best in very small societies, in Norway, Finland, Sweden, Denmark, Switzerland. As soon as countries become relatively big, it no longer functions very well. In Switzerland, we have direct democracy, and cities and so-called cantons, these are like states, but of course much smaller. You know, California is a state with over 40 million people. A state in Switzerland, a canton, has maybe a million maximum. Maybe some cantons have half a million. So these entities, they have their own elections and so forth. So it functions halfway well, not perfectly well, but I still say among all the ugly sisters, the democracy in Switzerland functions halfway well. But in large countries, it doesn't work.
It does not work. I agree. And Doctor,
now someone will say, "Well, it's a bad system, but it's the best among the ugly systems." That is not yet tested, because, as you know, human history started, say, the recorded history 4,000 years BC. And so we're now in the year 2000, so we have 6,000 years of history. And democracy is maximum 100 years old, maximum. But in Britain, yeah, they have democracy before in the 19th century. But only wealthy people that pay a certain amount of tax could vote. And in America, as you know, black people couldn't vote. And I don't know exactly until when, but say roughly 1950s. And women could only vote, I think, after like 1924 or something like this. So we never had this system. And now we have it for 100 years. And we don't know whether it will really work. My sense is it won't work, and that it will lead to a very strong leader that will then be a dictator.
So, Dr. Faber, you know, you've been very gracious with your time, and I love your opinion. I mean, I'm in agreement with you. I love what you do. Do you have any closing thoughts or ideas or things you'd like to say to my audience and to audiences everywhere? Because you're a straight up guy. You say it like it is. So as we close in here, is there anything you'd like to say? You're the forum is yours, sir.
Well, I'd like to say that forecasting markets is practically impossible. And the forecasting record of people is horrendous, including myself. But I have always said over the last few years, you have to be diversified, because you and I and your listeners, they don't know where the world will be in 5 years' time. So you have to own some real estate, and you have to own some precious metals, you have to own some equities, and some bonds and cash, and maybe if you like art, then buy some art. I don't think it will make you rich, but you may enjoy looking at a nice picture. I prefer to look at nature, to look at trees, and have dogs around and so forth, but everybody has to find his own happiness. But I would also introduce the thought that you cannot trust governments.
Now, there's a gloom, boom, and doomer. You cannot trust government. And, of course, we've talked about that often here on the Bubba Show, that government has gotten too big, and that the way things are operating now, they do not have our best interests in heart, but yet just their own best interest. Anyways, we are with Dr. Mark Faber from Gloom, Boom, and Doom, and this is being sponsored and brought to you by our friends at the Capital Trading Group, capitaltradinggroup.com. Nell Sloan, reach out to her, 1-800-238-2610 for all your alternative investing needs. They do a great job, and I want you to check them out. They've got a lot of free literature they can show you and share with you. So make sure you check them out, and make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. We've got a lot of great stuff there for you. And, of course, you know from being on The Bubba Show, we believe in every type of investment, from equities to alternatives. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Heading down south to the land of the pines, I'm thumbing my way into North Carolina. Staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz hanging out with you. And you know, I'll tell you, you know, Dr. Mark Faber, has he got a mind of his? And again, he tells it like it is, which, as you know, as being a regular listener of the Bubba Show, I've got my mind as well. And fortunately, Mark and I agree. And that government is too big, and that government does not do the job that they were intended to. And Dr. Mark Faber is being brought to you by our friends at the Capital Trading Group, capitaltradinggroup.com. Give my friend Nell Sloan a call at 1-800-238-2610. She'll hook you up and check you out and give you some of the new stuff that they're doing. I urge you to check them out. Let's get back to our new friend from Bloom, Gloom, Boom, and Doom, Dr. Mark Faber.
And therefore, you know, the big tragedy of the Russian Revolution is that lots of people in Russia, they had all their money in Russia, and overnight they lost it. And when the communists came to Eastern Europe, there were lots of people that had all their assets in Eastern Europe, and the properties in Eastern Europe, they were not diversified geographically. So they lost everything. And when the communists took over Shanghai in 1949, lots of people in Shanghai, they had no assets outside China because they said, oh, the communists take over, we had so many revolutions in China, and we always survived and always stayed well. But as it then happened, the communists took everything away, and the Shanghainese capitalists were essentially sent into labor camps, which wasn't a particularly pleasant holiday, I can tell you. And so I would say an individual has to diversify between stocks, bonds, real estate, and precious metals, but he also has to hold his assets in different jurisdictions. I mean, I would hold some assets in, I don't hold anything in the U.S., but you could hold some assets in Canada and some assets in Europe, some assets in Singapore, Hong Kong, or Australia. But you need to diversify geographically because you and I, we know one thing. Governments are evil. Central banks are evil. And they will do anything to their advantage. And they will not take into account what is good for you and me.
And that is a...
They will completely disrespect your and mine property rights.
You are... That's what makes you Dr. Mark Faber from Gloom, Boom, and Doom Report. You are awesome. I hope you'll come back and join us again, sir. I really appreciate our time together. It was great to have you on. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, wasn't he great? I got to tell you, I mean, Dr. Mark Faber, you know, love him or hate him, agree with him or don't agree with him, he does tell it like he thinks it. He tells you like he feels it. And you can't fault anybody for their opinion. I happen to agree. I think we have major, 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 major troubles brewing in the world. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, this is going to be very ugly. And I'm concerned. And I'm concerned for all of the reasons that Dr. Faber has stated here, that there's big troubles. And at the end of the day, why is it a problem? Because we're not going to be able to get out of this mess. We saw this with the Fed minutes. We see this every time the Fed talks. Now, you heard him say, obviously, with no coaching of mine, and remember, this is an educated economist out of Zurich. Okay, this is not, you know, somebody that just hanging out with an opinion. I mean, he's got the legitimate facts and figures to back up what he's saying. And I think that, you know, again, we all have an opinion and we're all entitled to our opinion. That's what makes it the beautiful country that we live in. However, you know, you do have to take some of what he says as reality, because we have seen over the history that the Fed really doesn't know what they're doing. Okay, that the Fed really should not be involved in the day-to-day market activity. Why should they care what the market is doing? Why should they care of every tick? Their job, their mandate is not to worry about those things. So why do they feel that they have to send out their henchmen, as I like to call them? You know, it's Dudley Do-Right. I mean, it's everybody. And to me, that's all planned. And Dr. Faber said that he felt that it was orchestrated, that he felt that they were told what to say. Now, you know, you can agree or not or disagree, but certainly it is amazing about the timing of when they come out and speak, and they've always come out and speak. You know, you never hear them coming out and speaking when the market is rallying. They only speak when the market is breaking. Now, you can go with the conspiracy theorists that the banks are a cartel and that the Fed's mandate is to feed the banks, in which they have done a very nice job of. Or you can say that the Fed is there doing what they're supposed to be doing and handling liquidity problems and issues and financial meltdowns. Again, you can agree or disagree with the way they handled the original meltdown. I disagree. The Badger agrees. Okay, but again, but the Badger and I both agree, and of course, Dr. Mark agree that what they've done subsequently is totally wrong, out of left field, and somebody needs to have their head examined. Okay, because this has become a nightmare. This has become a society that no longer caters to a capitalist point of view, but more or less caters to a socialist point of view. And to me, they are preventing the entrepreneurial spirit on which this country was built on. Now, we have talked about this in the past, about a potential revolution in this country. Now, you know, Dr. Fauber did say that he could see that as a potential. But of course, again, it's very simple. Government is too big. Government wastes too much money. But what they do have the ability to do is when they overrun and waste too much, they get the opportunity to they print more money and they print more money and they build a bigger deficit. And of course, they stick it to us, the middle class, the average guy. And when it's all said and done, it pisses me off. That's the bottom line. Okay. I don't like it. I don't like what they're doing. I don't like where they're going. I think that there has to be a tremendous amount of changes. You know, you've heard us talk about on this show about the waste of government. The amount of money wasted by the government is enough to feed small countries regularly. Steaks. Okay. So, of course, there could be problems, and there will be problems. Again, as we address here all the time, the more you take away from people, the bigger the chance that they're going to revolt. Now, again, I'm not predicting a revolution. I'm not predicting another war here, but I'm just saying that you got to understand that we have many, many issues and many, many problems that have to be addressed and are not. And we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. We continue to ignore the problem and think we can fix it with a Band-Aid. And it cannot be fixed with a Band-Aid. There's only one thing that will fix the economy, and that's to let it flush out. All we are doing now is delaying the inevitable because they're staying together for the kids. So they're ruining everybody's life because they're ignorant, because they don't know how to get out. And all I can say is that please get them out of there. Let's get some people in there that understand it and want to run a company and not steal the old man's bundle or the money. Because at the end of the day, in my opinion, that's what they're doing. And I'm quite frankly, I'm sick of it. But anyways, I hope you enjoyed Dr. Mark Fauber. It was great. It was great to have him on. And I appreciate his time. He was brought to you by our friends at the Capital Trading Group, capitaltradinggroup.com. Nell Sloan, 1-800-238-2610. Check her out. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure to catch me on Fox Wednesday morning on the opening bell with Maria Bartiromo. And we will see you tomorrow, same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, as always, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks a lot.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.